Yeah, we like very much because we think we are really lucky to have seen all those sort of places and meet all those different people. So we feel like we enjoy to share this experience, and we like to make other people knowing that the world is so big and there are so different person and kind of life or experience and culture so different from what we are using, and we like to share and let people know that there are all those different things and beautiful things in the world.
Sejam muito bem-vindos a mais um podcast aqui do Maré Sonora, e o episódio de hoje foi gravado em inglês. Para quem prefere ouvir esse episódio com legenda traduzida automaticamente para o português, é só acessar o bate-papo diretamente na plataforma YouTube. Lá você tem um recurso, acessa a legenda, escolhe para português e aproveita a conversa de hoje. Um abraço e até mais! Welcome to Maré Sonora podcast. This is Marina, your host. As you know, this is a show about inspiring stories somehow related to the ocean. And today I have a very, very nice and friendly guest that I know for years now. We are both in Italy, not at the same location, but she's going to explain you more where she is, what she's been doing. So, Raffaella Marozzini, my dear friend, welcome to Maré Sonora podcast. Thank you so much for accepting my invitation.
Thank you very much to you, Marina. I'm very happy to join you in Maré Sonora. Thank you for the invitation.
Rafa, where exactly are you at the moment?
At the moment, I am in Italy, in Livorno, Leghorn, in Tuscany. And we are waiting to catch a plane in March 5 to go back to Lombok, Indonesia, where our boat is at the moment.
So before you start talking about the future, I would like to hear about your past a little bit, your story, sailing, your past travels, and also the books you have published so far. So what can you tell for anyone who doesn't know you, Rafa? How can you present yourself a little bit?
Okay, I was born in Rome, in Italy, and I started sailing when I was 15 with some sailing courses. And since then, I started dreaming of travel on a sailing boat. But then many, many years had to pass before I could keep this. And I met my husband in 2011, and I started sailing with him all over the Mediterranean. And then his dream was to live too. So at a certain point, we look at each other and we say, okay, let's go now or never, because we were getting older. And so in 2015, we lived from Elba Island, our home port, and our journey began.
And then you always been sailing west, right, Rafa, as a normal route along the tropics. We met in the Sambra, yeah. Right?
Yeah, we lived from Tuscany, but we wanted to spend the last summer in Mediterranean in Greece. So from Tuscany, we went in the wrong direction, back to Greece. We stayed for some months there, and then we crossed all the Mediterranean, and then, Gibraltar, and then we crossed the ocean, and we spent one season in the Caribbean, and then Panama Canal, and all the Pacific Island, And, you know, we met each other before Panama Canal in San Blas, if I don't,
yeah.
if I remember well.
Yeah, you're yeah. right. In your last book, you mentioned in the beginning of your trip, in your last book, Barefoot, Windswept, Sunkissed, Sailing Around the World on Obi-Wan. So before anything else, why is the boat called Obi-Wan? It's a very cool story. I would like to ask you to tell the name, the boat, the meaning.
Yeah, you know, my husband Giovanni is a yoga teacher and he's a fan of all Star Wars movies because, you know, there is in the movie, there is Yoda who is teaching Obi-Wan Kenobi. And this kind of teaching is very similar to what Giovanna was teaching during yoga. So he enjoyed this part of the movie. And then he just liked the word Obi-Wan. It's nice to pronounce and he liked how it sounded. And so he decided to name the boat Obi-Wan.
And I remember in the book...
It's funny because his first boat was called Obi-Wan Kenobi. But it was too long when you have to radio call Obi-Wan Kenobi. So the second one was just Obi-Wan.
Rafa, in the beginning of the book, in the beginning of your last book, You mentioned that when you were starting the trip, at some point, you went, I think you went for provisioning or you went into the supermarket or somewhere, and you got back on board and there were two more crew that you've never seen before. So Giovanni just decided to invite them. How was it?
Yeah, that was funny, no? We stopped in Gibraltar, just to fuel because we were leaving from another port of Spain called Almerimar, and we started from there for the Atlantic crossing, and we motored for all day or night, and so when we arrived in Gibraltar, we say okay, let's refuel before the crossing. And we refueled, and I went to pay in a little office. I went inside to pay for the fuel. And when I went back to Obi-Wan, Giovanni found two hitchhikers who would like to come with us. And it was very funny. They were two backpackers, very young guys. And we had fun with them. They helped us a bit with night watch. And, it was nice. They were with us till Canary Island. And then they went out of boat.
And then I remember you mentioned, at some point, Giovanni suggested that everybody could have a shower. So the air was...
Yeah, because... You know, they were backpacking, and so probably they had sleep in the street for a while or something like that. So as soon as the weather was good and the sea was smooth, we say, okay, let's have a shower. And they loved it and say, oh, maybe it's better. Yeah, and each time Giovanni came out from the kitchen with big pasta dishes, they were like, "Ooh, it's long time we don't eat so much and so well."
How are you?
Yeah.
When in the beginning, also in the very first pages, when you were saying how much you dreamed of sailing around the world, you say that you had to make the choice to stop working in the office with your family. What did you do before going around the world?
Yeah, I was working in my family company who was making electronics. And yes, I worked there for over 20 years. But yeah, I was Working because I needed, of course, but that was not the work I love it so much. It was just because I needed. And then it was very hard to say to my father, bye-bye, I'm going. And yeah, that was one of the hardest parts of the journey. Because he was dreaming about me and my sister to go on with the company, and luckily my sister went on, but I had to say bye bye.
Café do Luiz, a melhor companhia para você aproveitar qualquer podcast aqui do Maré Sonora. E se você quiser encomendar o seu de qualquer lugar no Brasil, basta fazer isso através do perfil no Instagram, @cafedoluiz. O bom e velho telefone funciona muito bem também. Em São Paulo, os pedidos podem ser feitos através do 998-30-0777 ou 98622-2612. Em Floripa, 048-99621-9288. E agora a gente volta ao bate-papo de hoje. And you also had an experience as a chartering in the Med, right?
I had a little company. I was working on my own. And I was a yacht broker, and I was organizing a renting of sailing boat and sailing holidays for my customer. And it went on for like 15 years. That was a way for me of dreaming of sailing. And I can go sailing. My customer can go, and I enjoy to organize everything for them.
How do you think this experience in the Med helped you in the trip around the world?
Sailing in the Med is very different from sailing in the ocean. Of course, sometimes Mediterranean is more difficult because the weather change very quickly, and So it was a good training for me, for us, and especially to know better the boat in a place where you have a shelter and harbor very near, so you can try your boat and learn everything about that in a safe environment. You know, there are that maybe the weather is worse, can be worse and change quickly, but the distance are really short, so it's easier to find the shelter. And it was like a good school to know the boat and every part of the boat and the maneuvering and everything about it.
And since we didn't really specify the boat, what can you tell about Obi-Wan? How big is she? What are the characteristics, Rafa?
Yeah, Obi-Wan is an Etap 39. It's a Belgian boat, 39 feet, a little less than 39. And the peculiar thing about Obi-Wan is that it's unsinkable. It's made by the shipyard. It's made two hulls, and inside there is some foam that make the boat unsinkable. So if you hit something or if you have some problem, the water and a bit of water enter in the boat, but it stay afloat. Also with a big crash in the hull, and you can't use the engine, or you can't use everything inside, but you can sail, and it's, I think, it's much safer than going on a life raft if something happens. And it's a very safe boat. It's very easy to maneuver, to steer, and yeah, it's a bit small, but it's nice, and we like it.
I don't know if you have heard through the years people asking you, oh, how can you afford the life on board around the world? What do you do for a living? Because this podcast is not necessarily about sailing. A lot of listeners, they don't sail at all, but they are inspired by the ocean, by the seas, and they are very curious. So I imagine a lot of people would be saying, okay, how do you manage to stay around the world? And mm-hmm. and I remember you guys did receive guests on Obi-Wan, right, Rafael? How did that work for you?
Mm-hmm. Okay, the main thing is that our houses in Italy, mine and Giovanni one, are rented. So this is the base of our incoming for living on board and for traveling. And sometimes some friends join us. They help us with the expenses. We share expenses and they give us some money for the expenses. And that's also a lot. Yeah. Yeah, but the main thing is the rented of our houses here in Italy. When we are here, we don't have an house because they are rented. The funny thing was, I also wrote in the book that in 6 months we decided to leave. And so I had to hurry up to resign in the office and to empty all the house to rent it out. And sell the cars and the scooter and everything.
One highlight when you talk about circumnavigation or sailing around the world are the friends you make along the way, and how sometimes it's difficult to leave behind, to say bye-bye. What experiences do you recall in regards to that, Rafa, making friends and special moments for you that you recall? I know it's tricky to choose one, but what would you say about that?
yeah, it's difficult because one of the aspects we enjoyed the most was friendship made during the journey, both on shore, people on land, and both all the people we met on the other boat, like you and Diego, and a lot of friends we made. I remember, for example, in the Cook Island, we stopped in Palmerston, and it's a little atoll in the middle of the Pacific. It's really one of the land most far away from many country and many continents, and so they don't have ferry, they don't have plane, the only connection they have with the rest of the world are the sailor who stop there in their atoll. And so we stayed there for like 10 days, and each day we were invited by them for lunch. And we joined them in the life in the atoll, helping, doing stuff like Giovanni helping the priest to put tiles in the house, or somebody else make a lesson in the small school. Or it was, and when it was time to leave, was really sad to say goodbye to those people. And we say, you will always be in our heart, and they say the same. And sometimes I still send them messages because they have internet by satellite. But really, yeah, this one was one of the most nice experience, and was really hard to leave.
You published 3 books, correct me if I'm wrong. Is it three books, right?
Yeah.
The first one is Il Mare, Vacanza a Vela Mediterraneo, Il Mare Stellato Sotto di Noi. Scusa la pronunciazione.
Yeah. No problem. Those are all only in Italian language. Yeah, the first one, Vacanze a Vela, is a book about, I thought this for people who want to rent a boat in the Mediterranean. And the first part is all the explanation on how do you rent a boat, like contract, which boat to choose, and all the things you have to check when you made the check-in and the check-out, and all those kind of suggestions to rent a boat. And then the second part is all the place, it's a description of all the place where you can rent a boat in the Mediterranean, what you find on shore, where you can go, how many harbors, how many anchorage, what you see on shore and stuff like this. Yeah, and the other one, Il Mare Stellato, is a collection of small, how do you say, a short...
like chronicles.
I don't know the word in English, sorry.
Like
the stories about things happening on the boat, like happening to me or place I saw and I enjoyed most, and short stories about sailing, yeah.
And were real stories like chronicles or that were fictions or real stories that happened with you?
They are really real stories. Only the last two are fantasy things I invented. Yeah.
And Rafa, you wrote you published the last one in 2021?
Yes.
So during COVID, during lockdown, or whereabouts were you when you published there?
In January 2020, we were back in Italy to say hi to family and friends. And then we had rented a small van in New Zealand while the boat was in Australia. And so when COVID exploded, we were in New Zealand. And then the border closed, and so we stayed for 6 months in New Zealand. It was not possible to go back to our boat in Australia. And so I was in this Airbnb in New Zealand, closed inside a room with nothing to do. And so I said, okay, let's start writing something. A publisher was interested, and so I started writing, and then he published it. Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know, but you, the situation when you went back to New Zealand, because you're planning to do like a road trip in New Zealand before returning to Australia where your boat was. So tell a little bit more about this super crazy moment, because you were like with misinformation and trying to board the plane. How exactly was those days?
Yeah, we were enjoying our van tour, and we say, okay, I don't think the border between New Zealand and Australia will be closed. They are very friend country. They have very many connections with each other. So we say, okay, let's go on with our holiday. But then suddenly Australia say in 48 hours we closed the border. So we were in the South Island, and we hurry up to give back the van and pack all our luggage, and we catch a plane to Wellington, and from Wellington we had another plane to Brisbane, and it was landing like a couple of hours before the border closed. So we say, okay, we made it. But when we went to board the plane at the airport, they say, okay, Australian citizen first. and they boarded all those Australians, and then the seat finished, the plane was overbooked, and so we remained on shore. We couldn't board the plane. I stopped the pilot and I say, please help, we must go on this plane. And he say, yeah, I am the captain of the plane, but on the airport I can do nothing. And he couldn't help. He was very kind, but he couldn't help. And so we found ourselves in Wellington without the van, without the possibility to go back to our boat. And we were really, really lucky that our good friends from Y2K, Ale and Max, were with their boat in Whangarei in New Zealand, and they invited us to join them on their boat. And that was very kind of them, and we spent many months with them. It was really, you know, in the bad situation, was really fun to be with them. And you know, we were in this hotel in Wellington, really sad and down, and we heard their voice saying, come to us. you are like family for us, come to stay with us. And was so sweet from them to invite us. Yeah. And we stay with them for months. Yeah.
Yeah, you first.
And that's one of the friendship I'm speaking about. We met them during our journey, and they are really good friends now. And like you and Diego and all those people you meet on the boat. I think the friendship become really strong.
And you guys, you first stayed on the boat with them because they were on the hard, they were at the shipyard, and then you rented a house together, right, in New Zealand, in the North Island.
Yeah. At the beginning, they were in this Airbnb because their boat was in the hard, and they told us, okay, let's help us to make all the work so we can put back the boat in the water and we can go all together on board. But then the shipyard closed because of the COVID, and we couldn't make the work, and the boat was on the hard. So we stayed like 2 months in this Airbnb with those New Zealand guys, who was really kind. They couldn't rent the Airbnb to nobody because nobody could travel. So they made us a very good price, and we stay with them. We had dinner with them, and it was nice. Yeah.
And how long were you stuck in New Zealand altogether?
For 6 months. Then after 6 months, we see that we couldn't come back to our boat, and the money were going low and low. And so we decided to come back to Italy to work a bit, to raise some money. We came here, and the summer, we came here was August. We spent all the winter here in Livorno, and next summer we found the boat on which we could make all the summer season working on charter to make some money to be able to have money to make work on Obi-Wan when we will be back.
And then when were you able to finally return to Bundaberg in Australia? Back to the boat.
It was after 2 years and a half. It was like April or May, of 2022. Yeah. Well, it was so We couldn't believe we were finally back on the boat, really, and we had to make a lot of work and cleaning and yeah, you know, battery were gone and the boat was really dirty and yeah, we spent like 2 months working to be able to leave on board and go back in the water.
Do you remember your sensation for being back on the boat? Do you remember the day when you actually stepped back on Obi-Wan after 2 years and a half? What memory do you have?
Yeah, I remember we flied to Brisbane and in Brisbane we rented a car and we drove till Bundaberg and then we started to see the marina from longer before we start to see all the masts and we say, oh, that's the mast, Obi-Wan, yeah, yeah. And we, oh, that's Obi-Wan, that's Obi-Wan. And we went there and there was like one, we stepped on board and there was like 1 centimeter of dust and dirty and small insect and everything was, you couldn't touch nothing, it was
yeah. And in Australia you have the most bizarre insects and animals everywhere. Can you imagine what sort of insects came on the boat?
Yeah, there was a green frog, but it was so green, really. It was living on the deck. And there was gecko everywhere, family of gecko in the mainsail and everywhere. Yeah.
And then, Hafa, once you put the boat back on the water, you sailed along the Great Barrier Reef, along the east coast of Australia. What can you tell about the next part of your voyage?
Yes, we sailed all the east coast of Australia, the Great Barrier Reef. It was wonderful, but it was really cold. You know, it was the good season for sailing in Australia is winter, is Australian winter, and it's quite cold. So we were with jacket and we couldn't enjoy the Barrier Reef because the water was really cold. But it was really beautiful. The Whitsunday Island, I enjoyed very much. And it was the whale season, and we met a lot of whales. And one thing I didn't never heard was the sound and the voice of the whales. It was really emotional to hear that. It was really good. And then after Australia, we went in Papua New Guinea, in the Lusiade Island. Those was really, we enjoyed very much. They still are in the past. They don't have nothing, don't have electricity, don't have internet, phone, signal, nothing. They are those small villages with small huts with the sand and many, many children going around and we played with them and they came with the canoes, very small children by themselves alone. They came near the boat for us for hooks and fishing line and chupa chups and stuff like that. Yeah.
And speaking about some of very unforgettable moments for you, going back again to the book, Barefoot, Windswept, and Sun-Kissed, Sailing Around the World on Obi-Wan, you mentioned a very interesting occasion that you were in a restaurant and then this lady walks in and then she joins the band. Can you share that moment?
Yeah. It was so nice. We were in Cape Verde in São Vicente, Mindelo, and we were in this nice restaurant, and we were like 10 persons, a big table, and suddenly this lady came, and it was like out of context. It was like a lady with the bag for the shopping, and we say, "Oh, who is this lady? Who? What is doing here? It's out of context." And instead, she starts speaking with the small orchestra, and then she starts singing, and it was like Cesaria Evora was the same. It was like herself in person, and she sang two or three songs. And then he say goodbye to everybody, take back his bag, and as she came, she was gone. It was funny, yeah.
How was it for you, Hafa, to write, the process of writing the book, and you probably reading logbooks or preparing, deciding what to tell in the book?
I wrote some article for an Italian magazine, so I started from them, and then I added more things. And it's not easy for me to write a logbook and everything. I prefer maybe to watch the old picture, and so watching the old picture, I remember the places and the people and what happened and then where we were. And from them, I start to describe the situation or the places. I don't like to write, to prepare the text before or to take notes about the place. I prefer maybe, yes, to look the map and to look the old picture. And from them, I remember all the things I want to write.
And you have been organizing presentations about the book. We were very happy to see you guys in Rome not long ago. What can you say about these moments, catching up with people and having the interaction with friends and family?
Yeah, we like very much because we think we are really lucky to have seen all those sort of places and meet all those different people. So we feel like we enjoy to share this experience, and we like to make other people knowing that the world is so big and there are so different person and kind of life or experience and culture so different from what we are used to, and we like to share and let people know that there are all those different things and beautiful things in the world.
And I imagine it can be like a seed. You're planting small seeds in people's mind with what you're doing, right? Like you inspire other people with your experience.
Yeah, we hope so. We everybody is asking us, but is it difficult to do that, to leave everything? And we say, it's difficult to stay still here in Italy and don't see all those different things. If you can go, if you're so lucky that you can go, go and see different things, because it's one of the best things in life for me is travel and to know different people and different culture.
So what's next in your life and in Giovanni Piccolino's life? What's coming up next?
we are going back to the boat now in the beginning of March, and we are going to make some works to the boat, and then we will enjoy another little bit of Indonesia. We want to go to Borneo to see orangutan, and the forest, and then we will go from other small island in the north of Indonesia, and then we go to Malaysia near Singapore, and then we, at the end of the year, we will start to go north to Thailand, and we will stay for I think a couple of seasons in Thailand. Don't ask me after that because I don't know.
One of the things that you say also in the book is how the special moments happen in the moment, in the situations, in the occasions where you least planned, right? How special those unexpected circumstances were in the life, in the journey.
Yeah, very often you make a plan and then maybe the weather change or something happen and you have to go in a different way. And that's how we see many places we enjoy the most. Or maybe a friend say, oh, I'm going there. And you are planning to go in another place. And he said, I go there for this, this, and this. And so you say, maybe, yes, we can go. And you, I always say that plans are made to be changed. And so we change our mind very easily.
I dearly remember, Rafa, two occasions when we met. One in Fakarava, because I had a very massive pain on my neck, and Giovanni hit me with a little hammer and put my neck back in order.
I remember.
It was so awesome. And then another moment, also in Fakarava, when we were going to the South Pass to snorkel. And everybody came on board. We did like a day charter, and then we...
I remember. That was funny,
We've met Dagmar and then Y2K. And then on the way back, we used the horn to wake up Max and Alessandra because to annoy them. Y2K was at the anchor. It was so awesome.
It's really a lot of fun when you have a different boat, two, three boats together. It's always a lot of fun, and dinner all together. And I always say when on the stern of Obi-Wan there are three or four dinghy, that's a nice evening because you have friends on board.
And the delicious meal we had on Obi-Wan also, always with those colored bowls. It's so nice. I have that strong memory too. Delicious pasta and really, really good. Did you become a vegetarian?
No, not really. Giovanni is vegetarian, but I eat all sorts of things. But when I am at home or on the boat, I don't eat meat because he don't eat. And so we eat the same stuff, we eat vegetables together and things like that. But when I go in a restaurant and maybe there is a good meat dish, I enjoy it.
Rafa, before I make the last question, I would like you to give the coordinates for people who wants to buy your books and where can they find it and what is the digital address, where can they find your books that you have launched so far?
They can find it on Amazon, on amazon.com, on amazon.co.uk and Amazon Australia. And it's available in ebook or paperback. And also on Kobo. For those who don't like Kindle and like Kobo or other ebook reader, also on Kobo website, both in only in ebook. On paperback, it's only on Amazon.
And this one, Scalza Spettinata, Abbronzata, which you translate as barefoot, windswept, sun-kissed. It finishes in Australia, and then it mentions a little bit about Asia. Are you planning to continue writing?
Yeah. I'm already started to write something, and I was waiting to see the rest of Indonesia and Malaysia and Thailand, and then I will probably write the second part of the book for this area, because we are enjoying it very much, and I would like to write also about those areas.
And Rafa, the very last question: how do you see yourself after so many years around the world? Thank you so much for listening to another chat here on Maré Sonora podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. And if you'd like to check out the entire conversation, there are many possibilities. You can check them all on the website, www.podcastmaresonora.com. I will also leave the link directly in the show's notes, so you can click on there and go through the best option. If you choose to listen to the podcast on Spotify, you can directly subscribe through there. And the good thing is, not only you have access to this chat, but to all of the complete episodes that have been already launched. So not only one, but more than 20 available. Another possibility is contribute through YouTube, and then I will forward you the link through your email. Pick the one that suits you better, and I'll be very happy to hear your thoughts and what you thought about this chat. I see you soon, and until then, fair winds to all of you. Muito obrigada por chegar até aqui e conferir mais um podcast do Maré Sonora. Se você quiser conferir o episódio até o final, completo, existem várias formas, várias alternativas para apoiar e participar. Recentemente eu disponibilizei um mecanismo de assinatura diretamente no Spotify. Funciona super fácil, você pode acessar diretamente na plataforma, clicar no episódio pago e aí você vai ter toda a orientação por e-mail para participar. A assinatura no Spotify te dá direito a aproveitar não só esse episódio de hoje, como todos os outros já lançados. São mais de 20 para você aproveitar. Para quem preferir fazer uma contribuição via Pix, a chave Pix do Maré Sonora é podcastmaresonora@gmail.com. Nesse caso, é fundamental que você coloque na mensagem do Pix o seu e-mail e qual episódio quer ouvir, que aí, em até um dia, eu reencaminho para você o link e você confere pelo YouTube. Outras alternativas de apoiar e participar aqui no Maré Sonora estão disponíveis no site www.podcastmaresonora.com. Acesse a seção Apoie e escolhe a melhor opção para você. Lá você vai conferir também o nome de todas as pessoas que já apoiaram, a quem eu agradeço demais. A gente se vê então no próximo episódio e eu desejo a todos vocês, como sempre, bons ventos.